taking their place in a long, true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, we teach the rising generation to be free. As always, I am thrilled you could be here. I am glad that you've decided to spend some of your time listening to me and talking about the Constitution, rights, liberty, and other things of interest. And today I have, well, I guess he'd call it an interesting question, an interesting thought. Are we citizens in America or are we slaves? Now, that may sound like a grandiose statement. It may sound like I'm promoting something, but this is a serious question. See, Merriam-Webster defines a citizen as an inhabitant of a city or town, especially one entitled to the rights and privileges of a freeman. Now, that invokes an image, right? That's somebody who, first of all, you're free. You're entitled to certain rights. You're entitled to certain privileges. It's this idea of, you know, liberty and justice for all. However, Merriam-Webster defines a slave as a person who is completely subservient to a dominating influence. Now, sometimes we think of being a slave as merely someone who is owned by someone else, something that most reasonable people would find absolutely repugnant. But more and more, it seems the American people have become enslaved to their government. The government gets to tell them what to do, gets to tell them how to do it, gets to tell them where and when they can go to school, how they can go about their lives, and more, whether or not they can actually go about their business. See, this is not hyperbole for effect. This is the honest question. In America, are we citizens or are we slaves? Because based on the definition from Merriam-Webster and expanding on that based on our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, a citizen is a person born with unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to protect these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. See, the difference between a citizen and a slave is who consents to what. If the Declaration of Independence is correct, if that is how our nation was founded, then we, the people, are the masters of government, not its slaves, not its servants. Yet, if there's one thing we've learned over the last 18 months or so, is that there are many in government who do not believe they are public servants. They believe they're the public's master. They believe that they have the right to tell people what is best for them and to enforce that by law, by punishment, in some case by arms. So I wanted to take a look today, and I wanted to ask this question as we look through some recent news and events and look at it. What does the Constitution say? What does the Declaration say? And then answer that question for ourselves. Are we citizens or are we servants? Are we slaves? Let's start with the mask mandates, because the mask mandates are back. This is not should not be a surprise to anyone. It seems that every time things start to get better, there's a new excuse to impose a new mask mandate. And the CDC has made an announcement that they're making some mask recommendations. For example, the CDC is now telling students, all students K through 12, that they should mask up even if they're fully vaccinated. Now, to me, that's a very interesting question. Does it mean the vaccine is not as effective as we've been told? That the vaccine and understand, the vaccine has two basic functions. One is to prevent you from getting the virus. The other is to prevent you from suffering all the symptoms. So your body can fight the virus quicker. You may get it, but you don't suffer the symptoms, or at least not as severely. Now, let's ignore the fact that actual evidence shows that masks are little, if any, good at stopping the spread of a respiratory virus. Medically, it makes no sense since the virus can easily pass through the mask. Most masks, right? The masks you buy at the store, the masks you make at home, it'll pass right through them in both directions. So it does little to deal with the virus that way. But it seems to be the only tool that the CDC and others are willing to employ. It seems to be the first tool they head for. Now, this also ignores the cost of wearing a mask. The studies that show that masks can actually make you more susceptible to bacterial infection. Long-term mask wearing makes your mouth more susceptible to bacterial infection, like strep. Or the studies that show that long-term mask wearing, especially in children, has an impact on cognitive abilities through a buildup of CO2 by ineffectively rebreathing some of your CO2. So again, we have the CDC recommending that all students grades K through 12 wear masks, even if they're fully vaccinated. So that tells me the vaccine is not as effective as we've been told, that this push for vaccines is kind of a red herring, but we'll deal with that a little later. But here's the question. Okay, CDC is recommending. Now, I have no problem with a CDC recommendation. The problem is the number of entities that turn that recommendation into a dictate. When you have schools that will demand students wear masks simply because the CDC recommended it, with absolutely zero consideration of the individual needs of the student. But this story gets worse. You see, the CDC has been asked, there have been more and more officials that are asking for the data that the CDC is using to put in place such a mask mandate. They've been calling for the CDC to, in effect, show their work, if we're going to keep talking about schools. But we're seeing certain organizations, including the New York City Health and Hospital Department, the CEO of the New York City Health and Hospitals system. We're seeing even Mayor de Blasio in New York City pushing back, saying, where's the data? They say, well, the CDC has issued this guidance, but they have yet to release the scientific reports on the data that underlies their recommendation. Now, I like the way the New York City Health and Hospital president put it, that they owe it to New Yorkers to be very careful and make sure this is based on the data. See, this is what happens when you find the CDC lying and misleading the people for months. Now, we don't trust them. And we don't trust them for good reason. So we're saying, okay, you're making this recommendation. Show me the data. Show me the data. And show me the research. How and why are you making this? Now, I find it very interesting. There's several cities and states, even the White House and Congress, even businesses and federal agencies, which we'll talk about, have implemented this, even though the data behind it hasn't been made available. Now, when the CDC was contacted by the Epoch Times, a spokesman said the studies the agency cited for its latest guidance haven't been published yet. Could it be that there are issues with those? You're making decisions based on studies that have not been published yet? Why are you making decisions based on studies that have been published yet? Now, I went a little farther and I saw that they've done some, there are actual journalists doing some research. And they went to the CDC's webpage, said that they don't find any studies, but they did find a related science brief linked on that page. And it said, well, it was based on a study from Houston Methodist, a hospital system in Texas. And, you know, the research said that, you know, the Delta variant caused a high breakthrough rate. And the interesting thing is that this study, it's in what's called a preprint status, meaning it has not been peer reviewed. Meaning this isn't science. This is one study, one opinion, without any data to back it up. The CDC also cited studies from India that noted high viral loads and large cluster sizes related to the Delta variant, regardless of vaccination status. Of course, the vaccines that were used have not been authorized in the United States. So those studies about the effectiveness of that vaccine have no relevance to the United States because those aren't the vaccines that we get here. Oh, and by the way, this study had been rejected after peer review. So what we have is the CDC making a recommendation on non-peer-reviewed data. Some of the data actually has been rejected after it was peer-reviewed. And they simply want you to follow what they say. They know what is best for you. And you shouldn't bother questioning it because, sure, it's not peer-reviewed. We don't know if the data is any good, but do what we say anyway. In other words, the recommendation from the CDC is absolutely meaningless. It is of no value. But yet we already have cities and states and parts of the federal government that are adopting this, even though it's based on questionable data, if not outright false data. Now, let me ask you, if you're being directed, if you're being manipulated, if you're being bullied into following a recommendation with no scientific evidence behind it, are you a citizen or are you a slave? Are you entitled to rights and privileges of a free person? Or are you completely subservient to a dominating influence? See, that's the question. These things about CD, about the mask mandates and the vaccines we'll talk about in a little bit. It's not a question of their effectiveness. It's a question of, do you have rights or not? Does government work based on powers you consent to? Or the other way around? Do you live by government's consent? Now, to me, that's not a minor distinction. That's the difference between a free republic and a totalitarian oligarchy. And while we talk about this being the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we talk about freedom and liberty, and while a lot of people falsely talk about the American democracy, where's the democracy when a small group of people with questionable data get to tell you how you have to live your life? Not simply a recommendation, but to take a bad recommendation, a faulty recommendation, or at least one not based in science, and use that as a bludgeon to force you into compliance. But what are we to do? What are the American people to do? Well, it's very interesting. An example of this actually exists in the House of Representatives. Now, the Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, has instituted a mask mandate. Now, let's stop and realize that the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution says you may not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. You said, what does that have to do with mask mandates? Well, liberty is the ability to go about your business without undue intervention from others, including the government. So your ability to walk about in public without the government telling you to wear a mask deprives you of that liberty without due process of law, because the government hasn't shown that you are a danger yet. Furthermore, your body is your property. And telling you that you must, that in order to be free, quote unquote free, in order to live your life, you must give up control of your body and let us tell you to wear a mask, well, that deprives you of your property without due process. Now, due process is defined by the Free Legal Dictionary as a judicial or governmental process that protects the rights of the individual. So here we have Nancy Pelosi. She is defining a mask mandate. She's creating a rule that deprives members of Congress, your representatives, the people that you hire to exercise your power in Congress under your name, to require that they wear masks. Not that they've shown them to be dangerous, not that they've shown them to be a contagion, simply because this is now a blanket requirement to wear masks. And several people have refused. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massey, and Ralph Northam have actually taken a step farther. They've actually filed a lawsuit in federal court saying that Nancy Pelosi had violated the 27th Amendment rights by defining them over what they called an unconstitutional, by fining them over this mask mandate. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the 27th Amendment, well, that's not a surprise. Most people aren't. The 27th Amendment says no law varying the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of the representatives shall have intervened. Now, I see this all the time, right? We see lawyers that are too smart by half, that have studied, you know, what judges say rather than what the Constitution says. Because I don't think Nancy Pelosi has varied their compensation. What she's done is punishing them. It's a fine. It's not their pay. It's a fine. No, what she's done is violate their rights under the Fifth Amendment. But the American people, especially apparently most lawyers and politicians, are so ignorant of the Constitution, they don't even realize how foolish their statement is. Yes, she has violated their rights, the rights protected by the Fifth Amendment, not the 27th Amendment. The rule is unconstitutional because it deprives the members of their liberty and control of their property without due process of law. Now, they go on to explain themselves how the face coverings are expressive, and it's a political move, it's not a medical move, how, you know, the guidance is not supported by the data that's been published. They go in to describe all of this. But I ask you, are your representatives, the people that you hire to represent you in Congress, are they subjects to you or to Nancy Pelosi? See, it's very interesting. The House has the legal authority, the constitutional authority, to set its own rules. And I think in many cases, the House has set their rules based on party preference, based on, I'm not entirely sure what. But Article 1, Section 5 says that each House may determine the rules of its proceedings, punish its members for disorderly behavior, and, with the concurrence of two-thirds, expel a member. So if the House has set a rule that allows the Speaker to simply issue mandates on their own, well, that's the House's problem. And by the way, your representative either voted for it or has not done anything to fix it. So take a little responsibility for the person you put in that office. Now, Congress, each House has the authority to punish its members for disorderly behavior. And that's a question of whether or not standing up against a mask mandate that is illegal and unconstitutional is disorderly behavior. I contend not. How do I get there? Well, it's very simple. See, the 10th Amendment says that a power not delegated to Congress, or not delegated to the United States, doesn't belong to the United States. And since the House of Representatives is most definitely a part of the United States, since we didn't delegate to them the power to make medical decisions to deprive you of your liberty or property, in fact, we specifically said they can't, how can it be disorderly to follow the supreme law of the land? That's right. Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution says the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Only laws of the United States made pursuant to the Constitution are also considered supreme. So how can it be disorderly to follow the law and to ignore the orders that are not only illegal, but void? Now, some of you may be shocked by saying, what do you mean that an act of that what she's done is void? Well, let's look at a little history. You see, Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Paper 78 said, there is no position which depends on clear principles, than that every act of a delegated authority contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised is void. Congress is a delegated authority. The Speaker of the House is a position with delegated authority. The commission under which they exercise that authority is the Constitution of the United States. So when Nancy Pelosi acts in a way that is contrary to the commission under which she's acting, that act is void. By the way, this isn't simply a odd quote from a founding father. No. The Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison said, thus the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principle supposed to be essential to all written constitutions, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that courts as well as other departments are bound by that instrument. Now, this isn't a law that Nancy Pelosi made, but she's treating it as one. She's creating a rule that has a punishment that she's applying to members of her house that is repugnant to the Constitution. It is therefore void. And not only are the courts bound to the Constitution above the actions of Ms. Pelosi, so are other departments. That includes the Congress and the House of Representatives. So yes, while I think the basis for their lawsuit is severely flawed, these three members are acting within the letter of the law. The Constitution says they cannot be deprived of their liberty without due process, which is exactly what Ms. Pelosi is attempting to do. Therefore, it's void. They don't have to follow it. Now, it's interesting because the chief of the Capitol Police announced that anyone refusing to comply with the House's mask mandate is subject to arrest. I want to point out just a few things about that. First of all, I believe the chief of police of the U.S. of the Capitol Police is bound by oath or affirmation to support the Constitution of the United States, not the dictates of the Speaker. That's issue number one. But it's even worse than that. You see, Article 1, Section 6, Clause 1 says the senators and representatives talk about their compensation, says they shall be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses and in going to and returning from the same. They cannot be arrested. And in fact, if the chief of police, if any U.S. Capitol Police officer attempts to arrest a member of the House while in session or going to or coming from, then they are committing a federal crime. Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. They are depriving the members of their right to attend session under color of law. It is actually the police chief who should be arrested, and any of his officers who attempt to put the wishes of the Speaker above the law. Now, it's interesting. Representative Massey basically said, go ahead, arrest. He's arrest the entire staff. He said, this is insane. They might as well come up to my office and arrest my entire staff. If they do, Mr. Massey, I hope you will then contact the FBI and open a complaint against the police for violating federal law. Quote me. Look up Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. It is a crime. It is punishable by a fine or up to 1 year in jail. Oh, by the way, if they even threaten to use force, that goes up to 10 years in jail. Yes, it's insane. Yes, it is a violation of the law by Ms. Pelosi. It would also be a violation of the law by the Capitol Police. And I would advise Mr. Massey, in fact, I'm trying to send him an email. I'm composing this email in my head as we're talking here right now to inform him that not only is he right in his position, but that he actually has the law on his side. He can actually request the FBI charge the officers with a crime. Who knows if it goes anywhere? I'll send it to him. Whether he reads it, I don't know. But see, this is a difference between a citizen and a slave. See, as a citizen of the United States and elected by the citizens of the United States to represent them in Congress, Mr. Massey is absolutely right. He does not have to comply with an illegal order by Ms. Pelosi. And I would go a step farther and say, not just simply arrest him and his staff, I would then charge those officers with the federal crime they just committed. I'd love to see what happens. I'd love to see the response from the U.S. Capitol Police Chief to find out that he would be committing a crime, even threatening to arrest House members while in session or going to and from session. The very idea of that is repugnant to the Constitution. That is a totalitarian regime. That is saying that the members of the House are slaves to the Speaker. They are not citizens anymore. They no longer represent citizens. They are now slaves. See, this is why I'm trying to go around the country this summer teaching people about their rights. It's called the Knowing Your Rights Tour. You can find out more at constitutionstudy.com/tour. If I'm coming near you, I would love to meet you. If I'm not, go to the bottom of the page. You can donate to help me put this on. It takes a lot of money to do all of this, but you can also request that I come to a location near you. I'm not looking for big events. I'm not looking for big venues. It can be a group of people getting together and chatting one evening. I've got a couple of those that are being set up. This is really meant to help spread this word, to help understand what your rights are, how to protect them, and then take some time to do a Q&A, to answer your questions about the Constitution and your rights and your liberty. And these are all very important. It is the difference between being a citizen or a slave. And it starts with understanding. And Thomas Jefferson said, if you wish to be ignorant and free, you wish what never was and never will be. So education is important. And I'm working on this, and I'm hoping you'll join me either by attending a session, helping me put on a session, maybe support the work that I'm doing. Again, you can find all of that at constitutionstudy.com/tour. I don't know if I'll let you, but my job has required a lot of travel over the years. And the one thing I know is I usually come home frequently exhausted and frequently with what I call the crud, you know, just something. Now, part of the reason is you get tired, right? You're on the road a lot. I'm traveling a lot. I'm meeting with lots of different people. It helps run down my immune system. It's hard to sleep in hotels on the road. So I've found HealthyCell.com. They have a wonderful product. They call it the REM sleep product. It truly helps you fall asleep and to sleep better, sleep more deeply and to stay asleep. So you can wake up refreshed and ready to go, to help fight off the crud, to help fight off the drowsiness, all the things that make traveling so difficult. As an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. So go to healthycell.com/outloud. Try REM sleep, try any of their products. It's a new way of dealing with vitamins. Again, that's healthycell.com/outloud for 20% off your first order. And I'll be back right after this break.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We're enjoying ourselves here at the Constitution Study. We're reading and studying the Constitution. We're teaching Americans to be free. We realize that we are not designed to be subjects of government. We are meant to be its master. Yet more and more, that piece of information is lost on those in government, and sadly, it's lost on many Americans. So they don't even realize what when their rights are being violated. And even if they know something is wrong, well, they're not quite sure what to do about it. So we spent the first half talking a lot about the mask mandates. And again, I'm picking on the COVID response because it is, well, it's what's top and center in the news. It's what's up front. It's what we've been dealing with for the last 18 months. There certainly are more examples, but I dealt with the mask mandate. Now I want to deal with the vaccine. Now the CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, basically said she believes that we may be a few mutations away from being able to end the vaccines. Now, I find this a baffling statement, not because of the science. The science is pretty well understood that as viruses mutate, they become more infectious, but less virulent, less deadly, less dangerous. But we've just spent the last few weeks going crazy because the new Delta variant is more infectious. Therefore, we have to mask up and they're pushing for vaccines and people have been going crazy. LA has reinstituted lockdowns because of a Delta variant because it's more contagious, even though it's been shown to be less virulent. So when she says more mutations may mean an end to the need of vaccines, well, that just makes no sense. That's while it makes scientific sense, it kind of defeats the whole narrative that the CDC has been promulgating regarding the Delta variant. Because of the Delta variant, we need more vaccinations. We need more mask mandates. We need more lockdowns. And again, this isn't her position is not based on science. I'm sorry. I love to say that it is. It is not based on science. Because when I look at, as I said, same with the mask mandates, when they're basing their decisions on unscientific studies, really studies that have not been peer-reviewed. But here we have another study. This one was published in Cell Reports Medicine. It lists as a comprehensive study. And it looks at people who had mostly mild to moderate symptoms of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, what we call the disease COVID-19. And over an 8-month period found that the patients possessed durable, broad-based immune responses. Now stop and think about that. What is the purpose of the vaccine? The vaccine is meant to pre-configure your immune system to have an immune response to the virus. But we have a study here that says that actually just having the virus gives you an immune response. So why do we need the vaccine? Why must everybody be vaccinated if people who have had the disease, especially even mild cases, have a durable, broad-based immune response to the virus? This is after they've recovered from the infection. See, that's this whole, again, blanket, this one size fits all, which is the only answer government seems to have, ignores the fact that if you've already had COVID-19, you probably have a decent immune response already. Does it mean you cannot get the disease? No, it means your body's going to react to the disease fairly vigorously. According to the report, or the director of the Emory Vaccine Center, he said that we also saw indications in this phase that natural immunity could continue to persist. So all these calls for booster shots. Wait a second. What about the people that have already been vaccinated or have already had the disease? See, if their natural immunity continues to persist, they don't need booster shots. Not medically. Not medically. Now, if medically, masks are questionable at best. If medically, vaccines are not needed by people who've already recovered from the disease, why do we have this push for vaccines and mask use? Could it be that the issue is less a medical decision and more a political one? For example, several federal agencies. In fact, we started with the Department of Veterans Affairs, but it has expanded. They are mandating their employees get vaccinated. They are mandating for the Title 38 employees because it's the best way to keep veterans safe. Well, I'm sorry, Director McDonough, that doesn't follow the science. The science says that the best way to protect veterans, to keep them safe, really depends on the condition of the individual. Have they had SARS-CoV-2? Did they recover from SARS-CoV-2? Have they had COVID-19 and recovered? Now, according to them, their Title 38 employees are doctors, dentists, registered nurse. These people, they're saying, you must comply. Now, this is a bit of an interesting situation because this is not a broad-based federal mandate. This is an employer making a demand of their employee. Now, the question is, since the employer is the federal government, a creation of the Constitution, and subject to it, does the federal government have the legal authority to terminate a person for refusing to take an experimental vaccine? Ah. You see, the vaccines in the U.S. have not completed their FDA testing. They're still issued under an emergency use authorization, which means by federal law, they cannot demand that people be vaccinated. Neither can they be coerced into taking these vaccines, which means Secretary Dennis McDonough, you are committing a federal crime. Yeah, you are, because you are demanding that someone take a vaccine that is still under an experimental use authorization. And you say if they refuse, they could be fired. That is coercion. That is a threat. And that, my dear sir, is a federal crime. Oh, by the way, I would take it to the next step. It's also a violation of their right of property because you are denying them their right to their property, control of their body without due process of law. Now, I completely disagree that even if this were to be passed by the FDA, any department of the federal government has the authority to require a vaccine unless it can be proven to be absolutely necessary for that position. Again, we're dealing with questions of contagion and other other situations. We're talking about doctors and nurses and dentists, by the way. Keep those involved. And we're dealing with a virus that, oh, by the way, has been shown to be not that deadly. With simple, inexpensive, basic medical care, not only is the death rate on average a fraction of a percent, but with basic care, even the instances of hospitalization are relatively low. But you see, we're not supposed to talk about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine because they're not politically acceptable. So let me ask you, if you work as a Title 38 employee for the Department of Veterans Affairs or any of these departments that are pushing this, are you a citizen or are you a slave? Well, maybe not a slave because you don't have to work for them. You're not being forced to work for them. But you certainly are a servant. You are a subject. And what happens when your employer violates the law? That's what I want to know. I want to know how many of these Title 38 employees have contacted their local FBI to file a complaint saying they're being coerced to take an experimental use drug in violation of federal law. I'm sorry, I don't know the law reference off the top of my head. I haven't memorized that. But if any of you are lawyers, go to the website when this post says a podcast, put the comment in. I just don't know it off the top of my head. See, that's the act of a citizen. When they recognize their creation has gone beyond its boundaries, they step up and they push back. Now, if there's a place that people need to stand up and push back, it is New York City. Now, I was born in New York City. I lived there as a small child. I've been there many times. I used to live not that far from there. I used to go there for work all the time. I remember in the 70s when most of New York City was a cesspool. I've been there in the 90s and early 2000s when it had cleaned up a bit. And I'm sad to see the state that it's in today. But here we have New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio on MSNBC stating that the voluntary phase is over for COVID-19 vaccinations. Quoting, he said, "We've got to shake people at this point and say, come on now, we tried voluntary. We could not have been more kind and compassionate. All right? Free testing everywhere you turn, incentives, friendly, warm embrace. The voluntary phase is over." Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a second. Mayor de Blasio believes you're a slave. Mayor de Blasio believes you are completely subservient to his dominating influence. That's what he just said. You no longer have voluntary control over your body. He does not require due process in order to deprive you of control of your body. He says, we were nice. Now we're going to be not so nice. See, he announced that all city employees would need to submit to weekly testing if they aren't vaccinated against the coronavirus. In addition, unvaccinated city workers are required to wear a mask at their workplace or they will be removed and suspended without pay. Now, again, the vaccine has been issued under an emergency use authorization. Mayor de Blasio is violating federal law. That's step one. He is violating federal law. Second, he is depriving people of control of their bodies, of control of the property of their body without due process of law. This man is a tyrant. And who's standing up for him? Again, city workers of New York, have you contacted the FBI? There's a big FBI office in New York City. I believe it's actually in Manhattan. Have you contacted them and filed a complaint, said, investigate? He is coercing us. He is threatening us. He is threatening our livelihood if we don't take an experimental vaccine. That's a violation of federal law. who is standing up and saying, no, you cannot deprive me of control of my body without due process of law. That announcement is void. Mayor de Blasio has a delegated authority. His power comes from the consent of the city, of the citizens of the city of New York. They have not given him this power. Therefore, it's void. How about we start standing up to these bullies and tyrants? On September 30, he says the entire city workforce will be mandated under the COVID safety mandate to either get vaccinated, which is far preferable, or get tested once a week. Mr. de Blasio, you're a petty tyrant. And it's about time the citizens of New York stop acting like slaves and doing whatever their bosses tell them and stand up and say, no, we have not consented. You are prohibited from demanding this. Prohibited by the Constitution of the United States that you swore or affirmed to support upon taking office, Mayor de Blasio. This is what you're doing, Mayor de Blasio, is a crime. We will not be slaves. We are citizens. We are your masters, not your subjects. Now, Mayor de Blasio is not alone. You know, the reason I left the Empire State, which the nickname for New York is the Empire State, is because it's run like an empire. So now, Governor Cuomo is setting aside $15 million to promote COVID-19 vaccinations, to help coerce people with low vaccination rates to be vaccinated, to submit to your overlords in Albany and do what you're told, to act like slaves. I'm tired of it. When are people going to stop? Are all the citizens in New York living under the Stockholm syndrome? Have they been so beaten into subjugation that they will do whatever their masters tell them? Have they truly stopped acting as citizens and now act as slaves to government? Will you truly make your medical decision not based on what is best for you and your family, but based on a goodie from Albany? Is that the state of the empire? See, if the empire state is going to be run like an empire, then you're slaves. And you don't have rights unless the masters in Albany and Gracie House say so. That's not the life of a citizen. That's the life of a subject, a slave, who has no more choice in the matter. You either get vaccinated or we will punish you. You may lose your job. You may be forced to suffer invasions of your body with testing. All because petty tyrants think you are their slaves. And way too many of us sit back and accept it. By the way, this isn't just going to be in New York. This is coming to a tyrant near you. Back to the CDC director, Ms. Rochelle Walensky, suggesting that vaccine passports, well, they may be our future. Now, and again, what is a vaccine passport? It's showing your papers. It's submitting to the rule of government in violation of the law. It's saying that government has the authority to tell you either to be vaccinated or be a second-class citizen. Again, a vaccine which has limited medical testing, which has, at this point, questionable effectiveness. If the same CDC that's pushing this vaccine is saying you still need to wear a mask, how effective is the vaccine? Based on the science and the data, this has nothing to do with the medical condition. This is a political move. I am convinced this is all about politics because the data shows that masks don't work, that while the vaccine tends to work really, really well, if not completely preventing people from getting COVID-19, but at least mitigating their symptoms, That doesn't mean everybody needs to take it. The science shows if you've already had COVID-19, you probably don't need the vaccine. Now, if you're a citizen, you get to decide for yourself. If you're a citizen, you get to look at the data, make a decision, and live your life. That's called liberty. But you see, they don't believe you're a citizen. They believe you're a subject, maybe even a slave. They believe to say, hey, we're going to have, why would you need a health passport unless you expect businesses and communities and government offices to require proof of vaccination, to require your submission to the overlords or suffer humiliation and punishment. It's the only reason for this. If you want to take the vaccine, take the vaccine. You have zero right to tell someone else they must take the vaccine. Therefore, you cannot delegate to the government the authority to tell them they must take the vaccine or be punished. If you cannot live in a free society that allow other people to live their lives based on what they believe is best for them, you are a tyrant. Each and every American that is out there saying you must be vaccinated to protect me is a petty tyrant, a narcissistic fool. And there are many of them in America. So I ask you, are you a citizen or are you a subject? Are you a slave? See, citizens are served by government. Subjects and slaves, subjects are ruled by government. Slaves, well, you see, slaves are owned by government. So when I see a church in Maine that's seeking a redress of grievance at the Supreme Court to prevent a tyrannical governor, Governor Janet Mills, from issuing illegal COVID restrictions. See, that is the first step of a citizen. You petition your government for redress of grievance. The question then becomes, regardless of what the Supreme Court does, do they comply? See, that's a critical difference. A citizen knows what the law is, knows what their rights are. They know the basis of the law, they know what their rights are, and they're prepared to stand for them. A subject knows what their rights are, but complies with the orders of others. A slave is given no choice at all. So this, the people who are filing the motion, the people in the church, the leaders of the church that are seeking this redress, they are acting like citizens. The question is, will they become subjects, slaves, or will they remain free? It's been attributed to Thomas Jefferson, but I have found no proof of it, but I love the quote. It says, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Do we live at liberty in the United States? Are we citizens? Do we consent to the just powers of government or not? These are extremely important questions. And how you answer them will tell a lot about how you deal with mask mandates, vaccine mandates, lawsuits, who you hire to represent you in the House of Representatives and in the Senate and in your state and local elected offices? Are you looking for people that will serve you because you're a citizen? Or are you seeking people that will rule you either as a subject or as a slave? See, as often as I'm here complaining about the CDC and Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo and the Director of Veterans Affairs and Nancy Pelosi, everybody I've complained about here holds office because we the people either place them there directly or placed a person who appointed them there. See, this mess is our fault. We, the people, have let this country go from the land of the free to the land of the subject. Because we've gone from the home of the brave to the home of the coward, the one unwilling to stand up for what is right, even though it may cost them. When government came to trample our rights, we did not say, stand your ground. We rolled over and let them. We made excuses. We found ways to prevaricate and allow it to happen. And now, since our parents did that and we did that, we no longer are truly free, and our children, their freedom is disappearing by the day. If not for yourself, what about your children? Will you protect their rights, their liberties? Or will you simply roll over, be a good little servant, be a good little slave, and let your masters in Washington, in your state houses, in your county courthouses, in your city halls, do whatever they think is best for you, regardless of your actual outcomes, regardless of the actual situations? Are you truly controlled and dominated by the influence of others? Are you subservient to others? Now, you can find out more about my show, get all the latest podcasts, if you go to AmericaOutloud.com. Look at the menu, click our shows, you'll find the Constitution Study. You can find past episodes, you can comment, and you can please join me next time for the Constitution Study.
Hey, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.